Next on MLR Weekly, NOLA Gold owner Tim Falcon, Army head coach Matt Sherman, John Layfield Gifte Bailu, John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning, and Brian Ray of America's Rugby News.
Rugby Wrap-Ups MLR Weekly brought to you by Sheehy Auto Stores. It's easy at Sheehy. The Pig and Whistle, New York City, the world's best rugby pump. And Lean and Limber, stretching your way to a healthier lifestyle.
Welcome back to MLR Weekly as presented by Rugby Wrap-Up. Matt McCarthy in New York City. Thank you for joining us once again. Much appreciated. We have a great show. We have owner of the NOLA Gold, Tim Falcon. We have Army head coach, Matt Sherman, coming off a dramatic victory versus Cal. We have Brian Ray of America's Rugby News with a whole bunch of MLR stuff. But before we get to any of that, we have our recurring segment, Rugby Morning's Coffee Break with John Fitzpatrick. What's going on?
Hey, Matt, week one, a ton of storylines coming out of the results. Let's start with the fact that MLR released their first 15 player of the week. New England Free Jacks fullback Reese McDonald, he scored a hat trick. He wasn't the only one to score a hat trick, though. Dallas Serpent Duvall Cote also dotted down three times, but McDonald did have that beautiful try intercept. Others on the list there, Seattle Seawolves fly half. Automatic Mac Mason in his return to MLR action. He kicked, added 20 points off the tee in their home win over the San Diego Legion. But Matt, a head scratcher on this one. NOLA Gold, they placed four players on the first 15. Not taken away from that, but they didn't score any points through the first 60 minutes of the game. How'd that work out?
I think there's a couple of dollars under the table, but I got Tim Falcon waiting in the wings, the owner of the NOLA Gold, and we'll ask him in the next segment. Next.
Hey, Matt, let's talk about some home attendance figures. You can see the graphic behind me. I have to say, the Anthem Rugby, in their very first game in franchise history against the New England Free Jacks, pretty solid crowd. 2,300 might not be anything to sneeze about, but I thought the crowd was pretty loud and pretty vocal. And the Anthem Rugby, they did not disappoint. I thought they played pretty spirited against the defending MLR champions. What did you think?
I think it's great, and I think the fan base understands that this team is not going to win any championships. Maybe a championship is winning one match this season, and they came out in that number. That's great, and I think they'll be back. Next.
Let's drop down to Houston real quick, because in week one, they announced that they sold out their home crowd, and that crowd saw MLR history, the youngest player in MLR history to step onto the field. Hooker, American hooker, Seth Smith, 18 years old. Matt, that's pretty incredible. What the heck were you doing when you were 18 years old?
I was trying to light my farts on fire, but this is just amazing. I love this story, and I love the fact that this guy's got the hairdo that he does, because I'm a bald guy and jealous. But how great is it for American rugby that an 18-year-old is playing on a very good team under Hanneke Meyer? And I'm not knocking the Anthem, but he's got a very good roster that he is competing against, and this is a big moment in American rugby history. Next.
Man, I thought the new teams acquitted themselves pretty well. The Miami Sharks, again, pretty feisty, chippy encounter with Chicago. It was a pretty heavy downpour down there. They came up a little bit short, but they will be certainly fun to watch. RFC LA. Unfortunately, they couldn't capture the crowd from LA Sevens. They kind of moved on, but it was a pretty entertaining game.
Everybody was hammered.
They were. You know, it was a late kickoff Eastern Standard Time, but you missed out on a good game. There were quite a few yellow cards, but RFC LA and your boy Dan Solomon had pretty solid showing. But Matt, I got to bring up the fact that the Dallas Jackals, who had them atop of the Western Conference after week one, impressive showing for Dallas.
Dallas jackaled that win away. You know, just a great win. And they're gritty, they're improved. Everybody might be looking past them, but you don't look past the Dallas Jackals this year. Next.
Well, Matt, they have a big test in week two as they take on the San Diego Legion. We'll find out whether or not Dallas is a pretender or contender, although I think that's too early to call. Matt, last thing I want to bring up here. I don't know if you saw this, but sounds like Major League Rugby has teamed up with a documentary film producer to chronicle the Chicago Hounds. Apparently they're going to follow them around for 10 years? That seems like a long time. Matt, what do you make of that?
Well, I like the fact that we're thinking about the league being in existence and the Hounds being in existence in 10 years, so I'm all for it. Next.
Matt, that is all I got. I hope your fantasy Rutgers team did well, but I don't think so.
Well, we'll just wait and see. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. On that note, I want to thank Mr. John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning for coming in here. Don't go away. We have Tim Falcon, owner of the NOLA Gold, coming up next.
Digs like a demented mole there.
Need a great price on a new vehicle? Sheehy makes it easy. Easy Price shows you our lowest prices on the Mid-Atlantic's largest selection. Find your best price online or at any of our 31 dealerships.
It's easy at Sheehy. Sheehy.com.
You need your cleats? You need them tomorrow? If you order today by 3 p.m. New York time or noon L.A. time, they can have them to you tomorrow. Young, old, male, female, if you're playing on turf, if you're playing on grass, if you're playing in the rain, you're playing in the heat, they've got you covered. RugbyNow.com. Go there now. All right, we're back. But before we bring in Tim Falcon, owner of the NOLA Gold, we have our MLR Play of the Week brought to you by TheRugbyNetwork.com. The top three choices are San Diego's Josh Henderson temporarily silencing the Seattle crowd with a dramatic penalty goal near the end of the match. Tevita Lopetti of Seattle giving Seawolves fans reason to cheer again with his try at the death, stunning the Legion. Andrew Coe of Los Angeles on the penalty advantage, corralling a stellar kick from former New York teammate Jason Emery for an electric try. And the RugbyNetwork.com MLR Play of the Week is the kick to Coe, giving a glimpse of some exciting play LA fans can expect this season. And we are back, and we are back with the owner of the NOLA Gold, Mr. Tim Falcon. Tim, welcome back to MLR Weekly.
Thank you, Matt. Glad to be back. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. And you have to have you have to feel pretty good. You have that collective phew going on after that win, right?
Yeah, you know, it's always good to leave the crowd on their feet, cheering the team off the field at the end of the game. Nothing better.
What was going on inside your head after 60 minutes of your team not getting any points at home, opening the league season against your arch rivals that you'll be competing against for a playoff spot in all probability? You're down 6-0, 60th minute. You roar back with 18 unanswered points to win the match. And more interestingly, though, in that time, four of your players earned their spot on the Arctic 15, the MLR Team of the Week. That's amazing.
That was great. Yeah, just, you know, again, just kudos to them. They hung tight. They played tough. Mentally, they stayed with the game. But, you know, so really hoping this will be some, you know, mental toughness going into it. You know, we had a great mental coach came in during the week. Charlie Smith came out and visited with the boys and spent some time with them. And, you know, I think there was a lot of help there. Charlie spent some good time with the fellas and gave them a lot of cues and different work to do, along with what our coaches are doing, obviously. But I think it pays off. And I think that, you know, the fact that they pulled it off affirmed that they're, you know, Stay strong, stay tough, and fight to the end of the game. And we just got to keep that going every game now.
So does Fitzgerald get a bump? Your GM, Ryan Fitzgerald, does he get a bump for players getting on the Team of the Week? And if since he got four on this week, did he make his salary for the year?
You know, he gets a bump if we get a home playoff game, Matt. That's where his incentive is.
Ah. Know? The old home. That's incentivizing in the right way. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for you, what is success this year for the goal?
Our success is, you know, after six seasons going into our seventh is to, you know, we've got a great new sponsor, the Louisiana Children's Medical Center, who is working with Tulane Sports Medicine, which have been our sports medicine provider for 4 years. They've stepped up. And, you know, not only are they bringing front of the jersey sponsorship, but they're really activating inside their facilities and helping us to get trial, to drive people into the stands, to help bring other, you know, sponsors into the stadium. So really it's about driving trial. You know, we've 7 years trying to get our brand out there, teaching people what rugby is, you know, help make that lift like everybody's trying to do. But now we're just really want to get people into the stands, get them to see what it looks like, and convert them to rugby fans. So at the end of the season, you know, go from our, you know, 2,000-3,000 to, you know, can we get it to 5,000-6,000? And we're really pushing hard for that.
And you've got some other new partners.
So the Interval Capital Partners, the investor, Terry Dopan, who was actually one of the originals when Austin came into the league. He's been fantastic. He's, you know, he's not only an investor, but he's also coming in and helping us, you know, take this bootstrap family-run business and bring it up to a better corporate level. His partners, David John and Anton Lescure. You know, we were blessed to have Gordon Stevens. So Gordon Stevens owns the riverboat company that has the Natchez. I think we had the only preseason VIP ticket party on a riverboat in the world. And he blew it away. Jazz bands, we had food. It was just an incredible night. Our fans loved it. Players were out there bonding. So
you need media there. You need media there. What the heck is that?
It's going to be out there. We got some videos coming out. We're gonna play it out.
No, I mean this media there. That's what I mean.
What are you talking?
I don't care about anybody else.
It was a good night.
What do you think of the conference setup, and what do you think of the anthem coming in and Miami Sharks being your rivals?
Super excited on both levels. You know, I think the Sharks with the Argentine connection and Marcus Gillipin and his partners down there are going to be tremendous partners for MLR. You know, they've got great vision. They're committed, you know, to really grow it. I think the fact they had over 3,000 fans in pouring rain in their open game, credit to them. You know, that's impressive. You know, the anthem, I think the whole concept, the partnership with World Rugby, MLR, USA Rugby is super important. I think it's something that we've been working on really for a couple of years now to make sure. Where's the best way? You know, where's the best way to partner with World Rugby? You know, not only to grow the game for the World Cup, obviously everybody's doing that, but, you know, in order to expand MLR and also give these young American kids opportunity to develop, play professional level it was a huge step. And, you know, really credit to Nick Benson and Ryan Patterson and the guys that worked really hard to put that together. Bill Gorin, who's now moving over to USA Rugby. So it's a really great development for rugby and MLR in America, I believe, to maximize the growth of American rugby.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It was like, you know, in 1 week or a couple of 3 weeks, we had these different developments that just gave us all hope. But I got to ask you, are you worried about the NRL?
What?
Are you worried about the N? You got me. Oh, doctor. Oh, that's the lawyer, ladies and gentlemen.
No. You know, I think rugby, put some rugby out there, people see different rugby, to talk about rugby, I mean, it's good.
You got me, man. You just got me hook, line, and sinker. Oh, God. I can feel the Reddit criticisms on my back already.
We're doing what we do. We've been plowing a lot of ground for 7-8 years. We've been doing the hard yards. Starting to see the benefit, you know, the saplings.
Well, you're growing your garden.
I'm growing the garden down here, paying attention to it. You know, we've got some good stuff going. You know, there's a $30 million renovation coming to the gold mine at the Shrine on Airline. That's going to start, the design starts next month. We're looking forward to being one of the major tenants inside of that facility. You know, our youth programs, we're working with the school boards down here, recruiting. In fact, we have a program right now to recruit graduating college students to come to New Orleans, play rugby, teach rugby, coach rugby, and work with Enola Gold and be in New Orleans and hang out for a while. So put the word out there. If you want to come and teach and play and hang out with Enola Gold, come on down to New Orleans. We'll have some advertisement going out. But the school board's looking for teachers and coaches, and they've committed to put as many rugby programs in the schools as we can support. So just a lot of good stuff happening down here. Sign on to the Rugby Network. You know, we just need everybody to do a little bit and enjoy our product and keep pushing it out there. Help us grow.
And if you're watching this program as a Enola Gold fan, you'll have free beer at the next home game, as per Tim.
Matt McCarthy.
Yeah, just tell him, put it on an account. I don't have it. That's a joke. There's no free beer offer. So just get that. Let's make that abundantly clear.
There's lots of beer and there's great prices. Come on out.
All right, good enough. On that note, I want to thank Mr. Tim Falcon of the NOLA Gold. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Matt.
And we're back with the head coach of Army, West Point's stellar Army rugby program, Mr. Matt Sherman. Matt, welcome back to MLR Weekly.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
One of the greatest wins in Army history last Saturday up at the Anderson Sports Complex, Warrior Field, against Cal. Powerhouse, perennial power, Cal. And I had the pleasure or the honor of calling the game with Brian Sheehy. And after the game, we were getting texts and there was emails and there was stuff on social media, people not understanding fully what we were talking about when we were addressing the emotional week that your team and the program went through. Can you just walk us through earlier in the week through what happened on Friday?
November, we found out that Stephen Dwyer, class of 09, had been killed in a helicopter accident. He'd been deployed to the Middle East after the escalation in Gaza. So we found out about that in November. Steve was obviously part of our brotherhood, our legacy as an 09 grad. He'd come back afterward as an officer rep. He was stationed at West Point, meaning he kind of helped coach and mentor the team. And then he came back again as an operations director. My first couple years here in the program, he was with us in Houston when we won the national championship. He's just been like many of our grads, just so involved and connected and tight with our legacy. So the family wanted to have the services in conjunction with our next home game, which was the March 2nd game. So Steve was buried on Friday at the West Point Cemetery, and obviously we had a lot of former players and teammates, not just from around the time he was here, but when he came back and helped mentor and work with guys to the current team. And you know, it's regular for us that we dedicate a game to a former player who's been killed in action and speak about that player at our jersey presentation. And you know, we dedicated this game to Steve and Allie, his wife. Three boys came and she gave a pretty amazing speech to the boys Friday night. That was very emotional. And so, yeah, you know, it was emotional. The family had a big tailgate Saturday for the game. Nothing we ever do can, you know, help with the absolute heartache and tragedy that the Dwyer family is living right now. But I know, you know, that we all felt the responsibility to want to honor Steve's legacy, put in a performance he was proud of, and hopefully provide them a bright moment in an otherwise, you know, just nightmare of a time. So so yeah, it was all those things, you know, a lot of things. And so obviously very, very emotional weekend.
And you also had the players, senior players, getting their post assignments earlier in the week.
So yeah, it's a big night for the boys. They find out where they're going to be the next few years. And you know, that's also former players who are at those places they get to start connecting with. So it is a big night.
Really, right up and down your lineup, all of those guys played one for the ages. And prior to the match, it was because even we were getting emotional upstairs. We were wondering how your team was going to react to all that stuff, all that emotion. You know, very easily they could have just, you know, had a, you know, a lackluster performance and nobody would say anything under the circumstances. And instead, they just completely channeled it and just were relentless. How did that transpire?
Give credit to the players. I thought they did a great job of, like you said, channeling that that emotion and that intensity and pressure, quite frankly, into not letting it seize them up. And being able to obviously play hard and inspired, which they did, but play free and clear and not, you know, kind of mentally overwhelmed, which I thought they did. And I agree. I thought Nate had a great game. I know Nate, you know, Nate's a special player. And I think we'll see big things from him in the future. But what's been really fantastic about Nate, especially these last few months, is, you know, we really try to challenge him to, not just be the athletic player that he is, but really try and be kind of blue collar, hard working, no shortcut taken, you know, grinder. And I think that played out in this game. As you said, he was everywhere. He's putting, you know, it wasn't just the amazing try that he scored, which was amazing. And Nate Gould, you know, probably is the only guy on the field that scores that. But, you know, kick chase, defense, rucks, poach on the goal line, right? Like, so, you know, the gritty stuff he was doing in spades, you know. Super proud of his team to come out and get this win against a good team.
I want to thank you for taking the time. It was great to see you and the guys and Jack Clark and Tom and the whole Cal group. It's great stuff, great times in American college rugby. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks for covering the sport and all you do, Matt.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back after this.
I wouldn't like to be at the bottom of that.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
This is the Rugby Odds, where an unlikely pundit panel of a wordsmith, a WWE legend, a rugby star, and a supermodel scour the globe, seeking best bets and bad behavior. Are you not entertained? Once again with Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News. Brian, we don't have a lot of time. What team surprised you the most this weekend?
Well, my pick might surprise some people, but I'm going to go with the San Diego Legion, to be honest. We knew they were going to be competitors this year, but I thought they might have been just a little bit, I don't know, maybe undercooked or something after coming out of the preseason. They didn't look super sharp in the preseason, and it's certainly by the results anyways. Missing Matt Gitto, missing Lincoln McClutchy, and, you know, Josh Henderson. We've seen him have great games in the past, but, you know, you just wondered if they were going to have enough to compete really with a very impressive Seattle roster. And, it looked like Seattle was pulling away from that one in San Diego. And to Josh Henderson's credit, he had a great game. You know, and they almost won it, if not for kind of a fluky bounce at the end. And, you know, Tevite Lapetti racing in, that could have gone San Diego's way. So, yeah, I thought that was a closer game than I expected. I thought San Diego, or rather, I thought Seattle would win that one by a few more points than they did.
Well, a couple of things here. First off, I loved Henderson after his unbelievable kick, which seemingly iced it, or so thought San Diego and Legion fans. And he shushes the crowd, because the crowd in Seattle yells and, you know, harasses the kicker as they're lining up. And that's a philosophical thing between fans on whether or not you respect the old tradition of being quiet while the kicker is going, or you do like Americans do, like they are in Seattle, and being, you know, crazy loud. And I thought it was great back and forth with him doing that as the potential villain, the victorious villain. But then Lapetti comes and steals it right back, and Seattle wins. Great match. What's your thought on the whole shushing and the booing?
Personally, I don't really care whether the crowd makes noise or not during a kick. Every kicker at this level is trained enough that they just phase that stuff out anyway. So, you know, if the reaction gets the crowd into the game, then great. I'm getting a little bit, it's a little unoriginal at this point to be doing the whole shush thing. I think it's been done, but whatever. I'm not going to get too harsh on a player for doing that in the moment. I mean, to be fair, it was a fantastic kick. I mean, that's easily the best kick of the round. So, it just adds to the game, I guess.
And it's always great when a Lopetti, who is on our fantasy Rutgers team, scores, just to put it in those little geeks' faces. Who was your surprise player of the week?
I'm going to say Junior Nafa. He'd been a good athlete, played some football for Brown University, so we knew he was a good athlete. You know, we saw him in that collegiate rugby shield match. New England obviously saw something in him, but he looks very explosive. I mean, a really nice line break, had a thumping tackle on that one. I just thought that he put his hand up and said, "Hey, I'm here to play in here." You know, where Anthem is not here just to get run over all season. And even though he's going to move back to the Free Jacks, you can see why they want him back halfway through the season now, because he looks like a really good athlete with good awareness too. I mean, he's, you know, he didn't look just like a football guy, just, you know, eyes shut. He had a line break and then makes the offload, which is perfect. So, yeah, I was impressed with him. So looking forward to him. And shout outs also to Mateo Gadsden. He kind of was away from top flight rugby for a bit after being with the Raptors and then kind of faded out. And he's come back. We knew he was a top athlete and comes in, scores the first try in Anthem history. So I thought those two guys looked pretty good.
All right, Brian, I'm going to hit you with rapid fire on picking these next games because we have no time. All right, here we go. Free Jacks minus 14 over Old Glory.
I will go with Old Glory for this one. I think the Free Jacks will win, but I don't know if they'll cover that spread. This is going to be a good game, I think.
Utah, minus 3 versus Chicago.
I'll take the Hounds in that one. I think they're going to win this game, and I think they'll do it with a few points to spare.
NOLA, minus 20 versus the Anthem.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. NOLA wins this one. Do they cover the 20? Kind of depends if we get some imports in for Anthem. I'll take NOLA.
Dallas at home versus San Diego. San Diego road favorites by 6.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go with that one. I think that's going to be close too, though. But I think San Diego will get a close win.
And LA at home hosting Houston. Houston road favorites by 4.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Actually, I think they'll cover that spread fairly easy. Houston looks they look pretty impressive in round one, I have to say.
All right, you can see my picks on the Rugby Odds this week, but also we have our TRO, the Rugby Odds MLR Pick of the Week with John Layfield and Gifte Bailu. Here they are.
Urban Rugby Championship is in D.C. this week, and we're going to crown a national champion. These guys are absolutely changing the game using rugby. That's my pick of the week. But you also got Old Glory at home in their new stadium. Unfortunately, they got the Free Jacks coming in, and I don't think there's a chance in the world. I think the Free Jacks absolutely run them out of their own field.
Man, look, it's good to be able to root for New Orleans and have hope again, because they got a 20, they're minus 20 against the Anthem. And yeah, at home. So look for New Orleans to absolutely continue to ride and get that win on the points for the win.
And there you have it. Brian, before we let you go, quick thought.
Well, you mentioned Seth Smith. A couple other guys who will play for USA U20 this year play for Anthem, Braymar Murray and Dylan Fortune. Awesome to see these young guys getting game time.
Absolutely. And on that note, I want to thank Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, Mr. John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning, Mr. Tim Falcon of the NOLA Gold, and Mr. Matt Sherman of Army. And thank you for tuning in. Please check out our other shows, including the critically acclaimed The Rugby Odds, the College Rugby Wrap-Up. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Please sign up for our newsletter, and please join our American Red Cross blood donor team.